You only have one source. Everything else is a resource. If you ever flip that and make that your modus operandi, how you roll, if you ever operate this way, you are free. Today, I want you to experience an encounter with God and His provision. I want you to come to see Him again for the first time as your provider in 1 Kings chapter 17. Beginning in verse 8, this is what we read. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is Elijah, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please, get me a little water in a jar that I might drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please give me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die." Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, and shall the jar of oil be empty, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor the jar did the jar of oil become empty according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. Here is one of the great stories in Scripture of God's provision. First of all, why does God allow us to be in circumstances where it looks like he is not providing? I am certain that there are plenty of stories here where you have felt like God has left you down. Let you down by leaving you out, by not coming through when you wanted to, when you needed him to, when you asked him to, when you desired him to. And it looks like when you're in a hurry, he's taking his time. And he has not satisfied the need for provision. There are a number of reasons why God allows his people to be in circumstances where provision is lacking. In this particular chapter, it was because of the sin of idolatry. God had made it clear that when you go after other gods, you let those other gods take care of you. When you abandon me, Deuteronomy 11, verses 16 and 17, if you leave me for other gods, then I will close up the heavens, and there will be no rain. For an agricultural environment, rain was critical. In other words, don't call on my blessing when you're worshiping another god. Let the competition take care of you. So when we abandon God through our sin and our idolatry, we walk away from the provider. So one of the reasons why provision is absent is that we have moved away from the provider. Through our sin, through our idolatry, remember, an idol is any noun, person, place, thing, or thought that you go to and appeal to as your source. He says that the reason why Israel right now was dried up and there was a drought is because they had abandoned God for the idols of Baal. So one reason why provision may be lacking is God has been abandoned, which means you are now left to your own resources to provide for yourself, because he's no longer appealed to, respected, and followed as your Jehovah Jireh. That's one reason. But that's not the only reason. Another reason why God allows lack of provision in our lives in a multiplicity of arenas, areas of our lives, is because he is trying us, testing us. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, God says, I let you get hungry. I let your food get low so that I might test your heart. In addition to that kind of test, he goes on in that same passage and says, and I did it to humble you. In other words, to get rid of some of your self-sufficiency. One of the reasons God will allow lack, emotional lack, physical lack, financial lack, career lack, one of the reasons God will allow lack is to strike a death blow at our independence. God hates pride, and he hates when you feel like you can make it without him. And to address independence from him, he will allow your contacts not to come through, the promotion not to come through. He will allow just when you thought you had a saving for something else to break down and eat it up. He will allow lack to let you know that you are not self-sufficient. That on your best day, on my best day, you and I are dependent. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says in verse 8 and 9, he said, we were undergoing a great deal of affliction. We were being overwhelmed to the point of death. We were going through a great deal of affliction to the point of death. God, why did you let Paul, who loved you, get that low where he didn't even think he could live anymore? Then Paul says, that we might learn to trust him who raises the dead. He said he let us get that low to deepen what it means to trust God at a point we couldn't fix. So God will allow us to get into circumstances we can't fix, even when we're in his will, in order to take us to a deeper level of experience with him and deepen our faith. But see, if you don't know that, then you just get mad at God. If you don't know that, then you're getting frustrated at your circumstances. And so God does allow lack. And in the case of idolatry, even causes it. And so that's the situation here. We have a prophet who is in a sinful environment. The people have gone to idolatry. And now we got a widow who just can eke out a living and only have enough flour for one more day. God tells Elijah, go to this woman and she's going to feed you. Now, she don't even have enough to feed herself. But you go to this woman and she's going to feed you. You only have one source. There it is. As simple as that sounds, it is a life-transforming prayer. You do not have multiple sources. Anything outside of God is a resource, not a source. It's merely a vehicle. Over and over again, the Bible declares that God is your only source. In Psalm 104, verses 10 to 17, God says, the animals only eat because I feed them. The birds only eat because I feed them. And people only eat because I feed them. God declares, I am your source. I am your starting point. So watch this. Whenever you treat a resource as though it is the source, you have now made your resource an idol. So for some people, their job is their idol. Or their bank account is their idol. Or their contacts, that's their idol. or their edumacation, that's their idol. Because they think, because I have this resource, I am taken care of. Which then makes that resource your God, because God wants to be your only source. Until you establish that principle, then you will always be controlled by the presence or absence of your resource. Let me show you what I mean. God tells Elijah to go to a widow. Okay, so he tells her to go to, he tells him to go to somebody who can't even take care of herself. He says, I want you to go to Zarephath, which is in Sidon. Let me tell you about Zarephath. Zarephath, we Texas is like the Bible Belt. Zarephath was the Baal Belt. It was the center of Baal worship. So it was just idolatry everywhere. So watch this. I want you to go to a woman who can't take care of herself because she's down to her last meal, and I want you to find the woman in a bad location. And I'm commanding you to go there. So God had to prepare Elijah for this command, and he prepares him back in verse 4. He says, it shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. There's our word provide again. Wait a minute, God. You're going to tell the ravens to feed me. Now, why is that a big deal? Because ravens are unclean birds. The Jews were prohibited from eating ravens. They were unclean birds. And yet he says, I'm going to tell the unclean bird, Deuteronomy 14, verses 11 to 14. Ravens are unclean, and yet God says, I'm going to tell the unclean bird to take care of you. So let me tell you something about God. He can use evil to make provisions for his people. He can use the unclean to answer a prayer. God said, you can't eat a raven. He didn't say, I can't use one. One of the things you need to know about God is that he trumps his rules. He's never inconsistent with himself, but anything he created, he can use to accomplish his purpose, even if it belongs to the devil. I'm going to throw a curveball to you right now, but God can use the devil to answer your prayers. That's how good God is. So if you have this tiny view of God, and God can only do it this way that I understand, that I'm used to and I can see, you're going to miss out on some stuff. So God knows you're going to need an encounter, which means he's going to have to create for you a situation. He's going to have to put you in a scenario to either deal with your idolatry or take you deeper in your faith. And that usually means it's a scenario you can't solve yourself. Because if you could solve it yourself, he knows you would go to that earthly solution rather than his heavenly intervention. Until we understand that we only have one source, until we understand that God is your only source and he doesn't want any competitors, then you'll be bouncing from resource to resource, hoping this resource works out. Maybe it's this resource. Maybe it's that resource. You'll be jumping and doing hopping jacks all over the place, hoping that maybe this is the resource. I'm trying to free you up. You only have one source. So God commands Elijah, and he tells him, now I have a widow for you, and I want you to go, and I have commanded her to feed you. So he's already gone ahead of Elijah and set him up so he could get something to eat. So Elijah goes to Zarephath. So let me just pause there. He didn't just say amen. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Isn't God good all the time? God's good. No. He obeyed. See, a lot of us want to see God's provision without our obedience. We want God to provide first and then we might obey. No, he wouldn't see the provision until he did the obedience. So he goes to Zarephath, not a comfortable place to be. It was the Baal seat, the seat of idolatry. But he fulfills God's command and he sees the widow. He tells the widow, give me some water and a piece of bread. Stay with me now. Here's the widow's response in verse 12. But she said, that ought to tell you something right there, but. She said, to put it in everyday English, let's get real. Come on, man. Let's get real. She says, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little in a jar, and I am gathering a few sticks that I might go in, prepare for me and my son that we may eat and die. And this leads to a staggering principle, one that if you grasp it, it will change your life. When God wants to do something for you, he may first want something from you. Now, I knew it would get quiet on that one. But often when God wants to do something for you, he will ask something from you first. That's why the prophet says, give to me first. Why, if you need something, would God ask you to give something that you yourself need? She needed her own food. Because God wants to know whether you trust his word. This principle is over and over in Scripture. Proverbs 11:25 says, he that waters will himself be watered. The Bible says over and over again, Deuteronomy 24:19, God responds to our response. Luke 6:38, give and it, the thing you give, will be given back to you. Pressed down, flowing over. A lot of people love that verse who don't do anything with it. God will regularly require a response of faith in the very area of which your own need. I'm at the gas station. It was on one of those cold days. It's freezing out there. There's this homeless gentleman, and he looked really sincerely homeless. I try to vet those things because there's a lot of games out there too. So he said, please, sir, for a few dollars to get something to eat and drink, something hot to drink. And so I'm pumping gas while he's asking me this. He says, I said, okay, it's real. You're not just talking because you want some drugs. You want some, you know. So I went through that. He said, oh, no, no, no. And then I have my little test I do. I said, so you're willing for me to take you to get something to eat and not just give you money to eat, because that way you can tell whether they're really into whether the issue is food or not. So he said, oh, yeah, you mean you can take me? So I said, okay, I'll tell you what. After I pump gas, I use my credit card to pump gas, I look in my wallet, and there's a $100 bill. It's a $100 bill in my wallet. So I got to get change. So follow this now, true story. So I'm going to help the guy. I'm going to give him $10. I'm going to give him $15. Look like it was authentic, hungry. It's freezing out there. So I go into the store at the gas station. This is really interesting. I go and I said, sir, would you give me, to get my receipt for the gas, I said, would you give me change for $100? This has never happened to me before. He pulls out his cash register and he says, I am so sorry, I don't have any change. I said, you got to be kidding me. How you gonna be a store and you don't have change? He says, I can't break 100. It's just the way things have been going. I don't have any change. So now me and God, we gotta have a little discussion. We got to talk about this. Now, God, is this you? Is this you? Because I don't want to miss you, but also, so I'm debating. I walk back out. It's freezing outside. I walk back out. And I said, okay, God, it's obvious this is what you want me to do. And so I gave the guy the $100 bill. And I said, I want you to use this for what you said you were going to use it for. At first glance, he only saw one zero. He thought he had a 10. And then it dawned on him that there were two zeros. Because of the way he looked at it. He looked and turned away, said thanks, and then he looked again, and he did that. I said, can I pray for you? He said, yeah! Yeah, pray for me. Pray for me all day. We can fast and pray today. He was serious in his pomposity. I mean, he was really expressing himself. Yeah, pray for me. So I prayed for him, you know, gave him a little witness. But the experience I got out of it was God allowed that thing to happen in a way because he wanted me to do something more than I had originally intended. And what I am trying to say to us is God has a myriad of ways of creating encounters so that as we become vehicles of blessing, he feels more comfortable blessing. That's what it means when the scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. The reason why it's more blessed is the bigger the conduit you become, the bigger container you're able to receive. And so the woman says what we say when we get in these situations, or Elijah says there in verse 13, do not be afraid. Because when you're in a situation where you need God to provide and then he's asking you to do something that you don't understand, you get scared. He says, don't be afraid. He knew the woman was afraid to do what God said do because it didn't make sense to do it. You need somebody in your life who's going to move you to God when you don't feel like going that way. You need somebody in your life who is spiritual enough to know what God is doing when you can't see it, even though they can show you from the Bible because it says it. You need somebody in your life. And unfortunately today, too many Christians limit themselves to their five senses. So they don't live in the spiritual. They only live in the five senses of the visible and the physical. So they never get to see what an encounter with God feels like. And it says, when she let her faith overcome her feeling, proven by the fact that she did what the prophet said do, it says that she did, verse 15, according to the word of Elijah, which was based on the word of God, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. In other words, God stretched it. The point of this passage is for you to experience and encounter God as your provider. You only have one source. Everything else is a resource. If you ever flip that and make that your modus operandi, how you roll, if you ever operate this way, you are free. Because when a resource goes left on you, you can say, okay, God, what's next? Because you my source. You're the one taking care of me. You're the one providing for me. You're the one who's filling me. So my eyes are on you, not just what resources are operating today. Praise God for the bank, but it ain't my source. Praise God for the job, but it ain't my source. Praise God for the church, but if you fire me, you're not my source. So the idea is for God to be your source. And let him choose what resource he wants to use today. May God help you individually, in your family, and us collectively to have one source so that we can encounter him in the challenges of life.
Another way that God gives us a divine encounter is when things are going south on your job or in your situation, and he reverses it, like he did with the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because they wouldn't bow to the system, because they wouldn't bow to the marketplace, because they wouldn't bow to the idolatry of Nebuchadnezzar, they got, shall we say, fired. And I literally mean fire, because they were thrown in the furnace of flames. It looks like they were on the decline in their life, in their career. But because of their faithful commitment to God, God gave them a divine encounter. He did not deliver them from experiencing a negative set of circumstances on their job because they worked for the king. He just joined them in the fire that they were going through. I know we all prefer to not have to go through the fire of circumstances and the fire of being fired or the fire of rejection. But when God wants to give us a divine encounter, he will let us go through that fire and he will just join us in it. That's why Nebuchadnezzar saw the fourth person walking around with them. Even though they were tied and bound when they were thrown in, they were freed in the fire. You want to look for the presence of God and the peace of God in the conflicts of your circumstances. And when it was all said and done, not only did they get delivered, they got promoted. Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw what God's people did in the midst of a negative environment, he put them in a whole nother level in the workplace. Do you know God can reverse your situation as he joins you in a bad scenario? Because God wants to give you a divine encounter by allowing you to be promoted out of a situation that looked like it would be hopeless and there would be no future for you. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Look for your divine encounter when things don't look like they're in your favor, because God can suddenly turn them around and promote you to a higher level using the same people who created the predicament.